There was a problem in the church, and there arose no little dissension and debate because of it. Now that's what was recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles regarding a teaching that was being proposed by some of the Jewish Christians. And the problem was that the Jewish Christians, some of them, wanted the Gentile converts to be circumcised, by extension, to obey all of the complex ritual and purity laws of the Jews. We can only imagine the scene as they discussed and debated hotly what exactly was necessary for the salvation of Gentile converts. So it was that the church convened the first council, the Council of Jerusalem. The most recent one, by the way, was the Second Vatican Council, convened in the 1960s. At this first council of the church, the leadership very likely examined the teachings of sacred scripture. They likely discussed and examined all of the examples of Jesus. Now, at this point, nothing was written down and accepted into the canon of scripture. They had to remember what he said and did. The church also very likely examined sacred tradition as they had received it, and in addition, the new tradition handed on by Jesus, particularly those sacramental signs of baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. And so the church leadership gathered in prayer to interpret all of this and offer a definitive teaching. These readings today give us an important lesson in how we know what to believe. So remember this. There are three pillars of faith to which we can look for a clear understanding of our faith. Sacred scripture, sacred tradition, church teaching. Now remember these three pillars because they come in very handy when we wrestle with any complex challenges to what we believe. And boy, howdy, there are plenty in today's time. So anything regarding faith and morals is supported and balanced when it falls in line with those three pillars: sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and church teaching. Remember that. Now, that being the case, we can read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles where they gathered for prayer to ask for wisdom and guidance in their particular problem. Now, here is their response to the question of circumcision and ritual purity laws for the Gentiles. It began like this. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. Boom. Talk about a bold statement. But it underscores an important point. The Holy Spirit does, in fact, speak through the church in matters of faith and morals. This is the evidence of the authority that Jesus left to his apostles and their successors. Do you remember these words of Jesus? He said, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Boom. So how is it that we Catholics know what is essential for belief? Well, with the three pillars that God gave us, so we don't easily stray into error. Sacred scripture, sacred tradition, church teaching. They all complement one another. They all support one another. They all uphold the teachings of faith and morals in our church. Now, the scriptures this weekend also tell us about the nature and meaning of the church. And this is interesting as well. We believe that the church is one. And the first reading shows us this truth. The apostles, bishops, and the elders, in Greek presbyteroi, presbyter and then an English priest, and the whole church, all of the laity, are mentioned in the opening lines of the letter from the Council of Jerusalem. The preamble to the letter reads this way: "The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church." The church is unified, one. We believe that the church is holy. It is consecrated by God and set apart for God's purpose of salvation for all. In today's readings, we see that the church is taught and guided by the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised to the apostles. The church is consecrated to God, holy. We believe that the church is Catholic, small c, that is to say, the church is universal. Today's responsorial psalm had us repeating the phrase, "O God, let all the nations praise you." God's plan of salvation is for all peoples, all lands, all nations. It's for everybody. The church is universal, Catholic. We believe that the church is apostolic. The second reading, taken from the book of Revelation, gives an image of the church, the new Jerusalem, gleaming with the splendor of God. And the foundation stones are the 12 apostles. Their faithful witness, passed on to us today through the apostolic ministry of the bishops, is the deposit of faith that keeps the foundation firm. The church is apostolic. These things get us down to the basics of what we believe and what we are as a church. So what are the three pillars of our faith? Sacred Scripture, sacred tradition, church teaching. What are the four marks of the church? The church is one, holy, Catholic, apostolic. And the message then is this: the church belongs to Jesus himself. The church is guided by the Holy Spirit and given to us by the Father through the Son. And so we can be filled with confidence in the church because we are free to worship with joy. We are inspired to rededicate our lives to Jesus. We are called to love Jesus by keeping his word. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have made their dwelling with us. We belong to God and we belong to one another in this divine communion of love. And we are filled with Easter joy. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.